what is man? Okay. I just want to play with this a little bit. I want to talk about it. Sometimes we can perhaps state with oversimplicity, but when God says something, as long as he's not speaking in a parable, don't try to change it. You know, when God speaks that is not in a parable, you don't need someone to interpret it for you. He means what he says. All you have to do is listen. Okay? So open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis, in the beginning, chapter 2, and verse 7, and let's see how God formed man. And this, incidentally, for those that want to make a deeper study, this is Eth-ha-Adam, the forming thereof. Chapter 2, verse 7, and it reads, "And the Lord God formed," this is a Hebrew word that means pressed into the order he wished, okay? He pressed us into the likeness in which we are. He formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, what was man formed of? Dust of the ground. "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, we could say, if we were to oversimplify, without God, what's man? He's dirt. Okay? He's dust. And you have Christians that go to all kinds of trouble to worrying about people that go against Christianity. Well, I just hate to offend them. They're dirt. They're dust. Try to convert them. Don't worry about offending them. Okay? Now, that is an oversimplification, because God breathed more than just his Holy Spirit, Ruach in the Hebrew tongue, into man. He breathed also the spiritual body. That is to say, let us create man or form man in our image, meaning the Elohim, which is to say, God and the angels. And so there's a little more to it than that. He gives this man a choice. Man can absorb the Holy Spirit of Almighty God and be blessed, or man can choose to go with the dirt. It's up to the man, you know, and that's the way God wanted it. Why? He loves you. He wanted to be fair. He wanted you to make your own choices. And therefore, this explains love itself. If you love him, you're going to follow him. If you love him, you're going to have that spirit abide in you, and you're going to abide in that spirit. And your other man, the man he actually placed in that body, the celestial and the terrestrial, we'll get to that a little further along, the spiritual man has a choice. You can either, again, stay with him, or you can go the other route. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms 103. Sometimes we have to be real careful when we're following God's word. Many times when we teach in simplicity, he can give us knowledge of understanding that surpasses anything you will find in man's literature, only in our fathers. Psalms 103 lets us know how precious it is to have God's blessings. That is to say, when God is pleased with you. Now, let's look at it simply, okay? If you love the Father, and you are serving him adequately, by that I mean doing your best, and there is someone here that does not love the Father necessarily, that is to say, to the point that he has any priority in their life, who do you think God is going to bless, you or them? I would hope that your opinion of our Heavenly Father would not be so unfair you would say them. Because you have to be in God's will and his way to have Him touch you in your life and use you. So naturally, someone that is against Him or that is against you, He's going to treat quite differently. We'll find that out here in the Psalms. Be on guard for that. But first, think of being in Him, with Him, and for Him. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. That means not dirt, not just in flesh, not just in action, not just the movement of man, but the Holy Spirit within you and your spirit as well, meshing and blessing Almighty God. When you bless Him, He's going to bless you tenfold. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Do you ever forget them? You ever get lonely and say, I just feel all alone, like God has deserted me? Well, you poor rascal. You know, you're to be pitied. You truly are. You know why? Because God will never desert you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you have time to worry about that poor, miserable wretch that you would be if that were to be the case. His benefits, claim them. That's His promises. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases? He does that. Do you believe that? Do you follow Him? Do you have enemies? Let Him take care of them when you've done all you can do, okay? After you stomp the little ants, let Him take over, okay? He'll handle the rest. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? He redeems your soul from hell. Okay. Who is the destroyer and who controls destruction? Satan does, of course. So what are you afraid of? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? As what? As a kinsman redeemer. Why? Because you're His child. You're His offspring. You're His own. And He cares. He truly does care. Okay, so what is man? He can be dirt, dust, or he can be a child of God. There's a great deal more to life than dirt. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. What? Now, the Word of God. These very words strengthen you, protect you, bless you, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, the eagle, they spring up out of that tree and they fly every day. And the older they get, sometimes the higher they fly. So He said, I can do that for you. Okay? It's kind of, when you get on along in years, that could be questioned. You know, but be that as it may, let the Spirit prevail. You know, don't listen to dirt. Verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. I mean, if you ever really get down on yourself, underline that. Underline it. Anytime somebody oppresses you, the Lord is going to render that is just. Do you know what that means? They're going to get everything they got coming to them. All right? You don't have to worry about it. If anything, pray for them. Because they're going to get it. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. He gave us the law. And He told Moses on the mount exactly what He was going to do. That's why you can always believe God, my dear one. Don't doubt Him. You don't need some holy person to interpret that for you. He tells us His Word is real and His Word is true. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. You know what? He's long-suffering. Unfortunately, some of us don't inherit those qualities of being long-suffering. That means patience. He's got all kinds of patience. And He loves you. And He's going to stick with you, even though you mess up. Even though you go to the dirt occasionally. He still loves you. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is long-suffering. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Meaning, if you deserve it, if you being a child of God, whereby he loves you, he's going to chastise you. He's going to correct you occasionally. And don't we need it, really? Now, be honest with yourself. Sometimes we need it. Okay, keeps us in line. Keeps us sharp. Keeps us ahead of the enemy. And he's not always like that. It's only when we kind of, I'll use it, turn to the dirt a little bit, okay? Verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He's always a little bit light. We deserve probably a lot more than we get in correction. But then when you're pleading for mercy and forgiveness, we serve a God of love. He loves you. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. In other words, everything about him is higher than what we have. He thinks on a different level. He's not quick to anger. And he is long-suffering, meaning he has patience. Where sometimes a human being can get a little impatient. They want everything now, instant this and instant that, you know. Well, God didn't make us that way, okay? He kind of lets us grow into things, okay? It's called maturity in some senses, okay? Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Do you know how far the east is from the west? All the way. I mean, that's all the way out of the world. He takes them away. When you ask for forgiveness, and you surely wouldn't be one of these pitiful little people that after you've asked him for forgiveness, bring it up to him again. You wouldn't do that to God, would you, when he says, it's gone. It's moved clear out of the atmosphere, the hemisphere. It's gone. Lord, I just hate I did it. You poor, miserable wretch. Because, you see, that irritates God. Because you're really telling him he couldn't do it. And when you tell God he can't do something when all things are possible with him, even getting along with you, okay, then it irritates him a little bit. So let him know you love him. And when he removes sins, don't be bringing it back up again. It's gone. Didn't happen. Doesn't exist. Verse 12. I'm sorry. 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, has mercy on them. Okay? This is like in the Hebrew, Rahama, only it's Rahama, I'm showing mercy. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him, those that revere him, those that love him. God's elect, God takes care of them. He's aware of them. He doesn't consider them to be dirt because he knows his spirit is with them and they in him. Now sharpen up for me real good. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows what you are without him. He knows you're nothing but a bunch of dirt. Okay. But what is this word frame? And you should know it. Okay. It's yazak. And it means, rather than the word formed, we covered, listen to me now, listen to me good. Rather than the word formed, which is a sister word to this, yazak, to be pressed into that shape. This particular word means conception. And you've got to think about that a minute. He knows your conception. And do you know something? This means you've got to go back a long way further than Genesis 2:7. When he said, let us make man in our image. He knows before the conception, back all the way to the conception in the world that was. He knows your heart from there. He knows your frame. He knows what you did there. He knows what you do here. And He cares. Why? He loves you. So, therefore, at the same time, in His election and the reason He chose them, He knows from Satan's first rebellion whether He can count on you or not. What did your soul do there? Did you run with the lot and worship Satan? Or did you stand against him and say, there's the line, don't you cross it? Okay? Did you make a stand? He knows. That's what it says when he says, I know your frame. I know your conception. I know what it was back there with you. You see, this is why God has the right to judge you and man doesn't. Because he knows you. He knows what he can count on you for. How far he can trust you. What your breaking point is if you have one. You see, these things are important in combat. In combating an enemy such as Satan, God is not going to build someone up that breaks easy and send them out to do something for him. That's tough. You can understand that. Why? He's going to win. God is going to win. I've read the back of the book. I know. So he picks winners. And that's why he picked you. Because he knows he can count on you. That's a very important verse there. That's really the seedbed of this lecture. Is he knows what you are besides just dust, as it stated. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows what to expect from us in the flesh. But at the same time, he knows your conception, meaning what happened before. What he placed in there when he placed your spiritual body inside that dust, that dirt. And he knows, again, what he can count on from you. That's a very deep verse. And it shows a deep, close contact to your kinsman redeemer, which is to say our Father himself through the Son. Verse 15, as for man, just check out the little mortal man. His days are as grass. That's what that dust is like. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. You know, in his health, doing great, looking good. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. In other words, dust man doesn't live all that long. Puffing, he's gone. However, 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, that revere him, that love him, and he is righteous unto children's children. In other words, there is much more to serving God than flesh. Much more. Flesh doesn't last. But eternal souls last forever. That is to say, people that revere, that love God, you're eternal. You're not dirt. You're not dust. And what he's saying here, I know your beginning. I know your frame. I know your conception. I know what I can count on. And you prove it over and over. The flesh, we all know, goes. But those souls placed therein are eternal and are forever. Meaning, there's a whole lot more to living than the flesh alone. Verse 18, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them, 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom ruleth over all. In other words, it is forever. It's so worthwhile that our Father cares about his children. What is man? Kind of dirt. If you want to be. And if you want to be a servant of God, then you have this to look forward to, the eternity. In other words, we're just getting started. Verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word, paying attention verse by verse, chapter by chapter, the word of God changing your life, strengthening your life, setting you apart from others. He knows your form. He knows your conception. He knows what he can count on from you. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. That means you do, as you plant seeds, as you pass on a thought. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Why shouldn't we bless him? What would we be without him? Well, we wouldn't have been anything, because, you know, the dirt would never have come to life had it not been for him. So you can't count on, you can just count that as zippo, which that's zero, okay? It amounts to nothing. He is our everything. And within those closing verses there, it means he has already set up his kingdom. You don't have to wonder about it. Well, is he going to have a kingdom when we get there? When we go through this miserable earth as dirt, are we going to have a kingdom to go to? It's already there. It's already set up. He promised it. He just told you about it. And he told you that it's forever. It's everlasting. It's your home. This is why that you're only a stranger here. There was a lady one time, she said, I just don't like my name, Rebecca. I said, why wouldn't you? Well, I don't want to be a stranger. I said, you're a stranger here. Your home is there. It's just a beautiful thing. You know, always look things over real good. Go to that depth. Know and understand that certain lady has passed on at this time many years ago. And she knows that now. Now she's back home. Okay, so let's continue right on. Chapter 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my Lord, O my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Everything about him. You never have to be ashamed serving God, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. You know, enjoy nature. Sometimes you can see God and not even know it. You see it in the majesty of nature. If you can absorb it, if you can receive it, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, the Ruach, the Spirit, for he is Spirit. You know, there is so much more to that. I wish I could go into everything I know about that. I can't. But when you see a big cumulus, fluffy cloud, and his Spirit is near, then his chariot could be inside. You don't know. Or do you? I don't know. You know, it's according to some people are spiritually attuned. Verse 4. Who maketh his angels spirits, Ruach, his ministers a flaming fire, a fire of truth that simplifies God's word, gets it right down where the rubber meets the road, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled, the voice of thy thunder, and they hastened away. God set the shorelines. He's in control. He protects men. We have events that happen, such as earthquakes, that can mess up shorelines. We just had a tsunami, you know about that. But at the same time, wise people know when to expect something like that. Why? Because you're educated in the Word of God. And he does those things. He's in control. And he does know. I want you to skip on down, if you would, with me to verse 29. Let me fill in between here. He's talking about in verse 26, they go down, there go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou made to play therein. These wait all upon thee that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. And sometimes this is symbolic of Satan in the Nile, okay, as an old crocodile, Leviathan, the sea monster. In other words, flesh waits for flesh in the last hour. You got it? Okay. Verse 29, thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, that's to say their spirit, the ruach. They die and return to their dust. And there you have it again. What is man without God? Dirt. Dust. But no one is forced to give up our Father and to give up that spirit, to give up that belongs to you. That is to say, His presence, His promises, His love, the fact that He loves you and that He will never weaken as far as your case is concerned. Never. And will always be with you. Only man can drift away from God. Only man can give up God and turn back to dirt. Verse 30, thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. And He will do that, as it is written in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. He rejuvenates this whole earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever, not a while. Forever the Lord shall rejoice in His works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. You have all these things going on. Do you see God? Do you see Him in the world today, in His workings, and in what He does? 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Do you have your being, or are you dirt? It's that simple. It's your choice. That's the way He created us. That's how He knows your conception. He knows what you can handle. He knows what He can count on you for. My mediation, verse 34, my mediation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. 35 to complete. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Gone, finished, dirt, dust, back to dust. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. What great promises He makes us in those two Psalms. That He knew you from before, if you go to that depth. That He knows that He can count on you. Do you understand what a compliment that is to you from God? That with all this world and the trouble that's in it, that He feeds you? Had we covered the verses there in Psalms 104, it said he even knows how to feed the wild sheep that never see men. He knows when they need something to eat. He knows how to provide for everything. And the jest, of course, is, don't you think He knows how to take care of you? You know, He that created this earth, and when you look out at night, the universe, you see the stars in heaven, that's your Father. And He loves you. He cares. He knows your conception. He knows you from the beginning. And hey, if He still loves you, that's saying a bunch, don't you think? Really, you know, it sure is. New Testament. I think anyone can guess where I'm going to take you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to complete. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul is teaching here concerning man and how God assists man. And he says, if you're going to expect an ear of corn, the seed you plant to get that new ear, it's got to die. So to get your new spiritual body, sometimes the flesh body must die. Okay? So pick it up with verse 40. What I want you to understand, so that you don't oversimplify and simply say man is either dirt or he has the Holy Spirit. No, there's a spiritual man dwelling in there, in you. And that's what God breathed into you, even in a natural birth. At your conception, it happened. You know, we could take that word, frame, he knows your frame. And it kind of really lets people know where life begins at conception. Do you understand? It makes it very deep into some, but yet so simple as truth flows. But I want you to know that you have two bodies. You have that dirt one, and hey, it's not all that bad. It's different than anyone else's. It's got different fingerprints, different DNA, you know, and it's... it has all sort of things built in, like you have little hairs on the back of your hand. Do you know why that is? That's so when you get in a close place, it's telling you, hey, it's about to get tight in here. You're about to mash a finger, dude. And it means remove. Okay. You got all kinds of wonderful things built in to that dirt body. Why? Because everything God does is fantastic. It truly is. And he can work with it. But let's talk about the other body that he breathed into that man. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. In other words, the earthly is a little different than the heavenly. But and we've covered those facts. One dies, the other doesn't. Had we read verse 39, it says there's all kinds of flesh. There's flesh of fish and men and birds and fishes. But what does flesh do? What is flesh? Dirt. Okay? It dies. So it means that... if you're looking at flesh alone, I'll go ahead and say it may offend some, is if you're looking for the dirt to get you through, it's not going to get you through any more than it would an old catfish. It's going to die. Okay, it's going back to dirt. I just thought I'd throw that in. Okay. Verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Every human being is different. You're unique. And God calls his children stars many times, implied. 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. In other words, that body is not flesh. And that body does not wilt. Okay, it's not perishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Almighty God raises his own, his army coming to fold the hosts of heaven. It is sown a natural body, that's to say, flesh. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. You have to understand that, beloved. That you have an inner man. It's different than the flesh man. And sometimes you can almost judge people whether they let the natural man rule or the spiritual man. You know, the natural man is one of the first things the natural man will say, you've got to feed me. If you don't feed me, I'm going to die. I don't care what spiritually you think you're doing, but without me, you're nothing. Well, that's wrong, see. So you have to, who's the captain of your ship? You know, which do you let rule? Dirt? What is man? Dirt? Or this other man, this spiritual being? And so it is written, you can count on it. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam, of course, was Ha-Adam, the one we read about in 2:7. The last Adam was Jesus Christ himself, and he was spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Well, why did God do it that way? Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second man is of the Lord from heaven. That is to say, Emmanuel, which is to say, God with us. Let us create man in our image. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. That's the way it goes. It's your choice, in other words. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. You can count on it. If it's no longer than just for judgment, you'll be there, okay? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And he continues on saying, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the end, all will be changed. Why can't flesh and blood enter the kingdom of heaven? It's a different dimension, okay? Different place, and a different body, a much more perfect body. I can even say it's the real you. And that's the truth. It's the real you. That is not to say that you are in this flesh body to accomplish things for the living God, to plant seeds, to help those that are dirt. And I'm not, I don't want you to think I'm doing that cruelly or offensively to anyone. People need help. And how can you help people without telling them the truth? That's how it's done. Our Heavenly Father knows man. And what is man? Man is whatever man wishes to be. His or her choice. You know, that's strictly your choice. Well, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life because I got bad advice. I don't give me that. I will not hear that. You are the one that's the captain of this ship, yours. And you're the one that steered that little old boat right out on bad advice, and you should have known better. You should have listened to your father. Okay? So don't any time that you try to blame somebody else other than self, you're headed for trouble. In the first place, how do I handle that? It's real easy. Don't listen to fools. Okay. Well, that's, what do you mean, don't listen to fools? Well, you're a bigger fool than they are if you do. Well, how do I know a fool when I see one? It's called wisdom. In the 7th verse of Proverbs, we'll tell you how that you tell that, how. Wisdom, in the beginning of wisdom, is the loving of the Lord who brings you true instruction. And if you know the Lord's word, you'll know a fool every time you see one. They shine out. They wear big red spiritual uniforms. Like, I'm a fool. Want to hear a fool for a while? You know, they shine like a big button to the wise. Okay, and we're not to judge people. Hey, but you're still not to listen to fools. That's common sense, isn't it? So, what is man? Man is whatever man wishes to be. God created man whereby the whole world is open to him, and heaven as well. The kingdom of God open to him. I cannot understand how anyone would not take advantage and wish to participate in that God has provided for us. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for being with us this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
You'll both be a part of the Bride of Christ, metaphorically speaking. Okay, but Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 24, documents that you will know each other, okay, and that you can help each other, all right? Hollis from Florida, is the trumps in 1 Corinthians 15:52 the last trump, and the 1 Thessalonians 4:16 God's trump, the seventh trump? Yes, they are both. The Greek is very specific in 15th chapter of Corinthians. It stipulates and means with the etymology of the word, the furthest out. That's the last, okay? I thought when Jesus came, he immediately changed all to spiritual in 1 Corinthians 15:52. He does, in the wink of an eye. And 1 Thessalonians says the same thing. It says, where the translation can give you a little bit of trouble, is when you meet him in the air. The word air does not translate sky, but breath of life, which, what is the spirit, your body, other than the ruach in the Hebrew, or in the Greek, it is pneuma. Pneuma is, you got a car with pneumatic tires on it, that means you've got to air them up, okay? It's breath of life. It means spiritual body. Okay, Tim from Oregon. I want to say I am amazed at your knowledge. Well, sometimes I am too. No, it's our Father's knowledge that we want to be impressed with. His word is complete. Okay, my question is, what do you believe the role of the USA will be with the Antichrist and the one world government? Thank you, Tim from Oregon. Well, it gives us a home base whereby we have the freedoms to teach God's Word, and our Constitution guarantees that. It is amazing, as we influence the world at this time, we've just witnessed a great thing, that some people for the first time in years and years had a vote, and many people would think, lack of knowledge is a dangerous thing. Many said, well, the Sunnis and the Shiites, and they're going to just really tangle it up because they'll never be able to get along. Do you understand what that is saying? Those are religions. That would be like saying in America, we're going to have a vote, and it's going to be with the Presbyterians, the Baptists, and the Methodists. And you better watch those Baptists how they vote, because they'll all vote just the same, or the Methodists. That's ridiculous. It doesn't have anything to do with politics, basically. Okay? So, a lot of people get in a sweat by listening to newscasters that never take the time to explain how the cultures of people. You know, you have Sunnis marrying Shiites and Shiites marrying Sunnis, and of course, we have those to the north, which is kind of a little different situation, but they still, they are good people, and they're free people now. That's what this nation is about. Though you've got some cranks around, we're a good nation with a good people, and do you know why? That promise we read today, I will always be with you. I will be there with you. I will be there for you. That's why you can put your hand in your pocket if you're lucky and pull out a coin. You may have one. They'll say, "In God we trust," all right? And I have seen times I did not have a coin in my pocket to pull out, but be that as it may, it's a different story. Francis from Colorado. I have a question. Where is it in the Bible that I might find where you spoke on the fact God may give you permission to go over to the other side and help a loved one, but not return to him, our Father, for 7 days? In the book of Ezekiel, from chapter 40 to the end, is about the millennium, okay, when we're all in spiritual bodies. In Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 25 is the scripture you're looking for, where it says you can help each other, but you will, if you be one of God's elect, that is, which the Hebrew word is Zadok. Priest of the Zadok is simply God's elect that knew the false Christ was coming first. Stan from California. I am confused. In some of your lessons, you say that when we die, our souls instantly go to heaven. In 1 Thessalonians verses 4 through 18, it states that the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm going to correct you here. It's chapter 4, verses about 13 and 14 through 18, okay? That state that the dead rise first. Do you know why the dead rise first? They're already gone. They're with him. You go back up to verse 13 and pick up the subject, and you won't be confused about it anymore, okay? My question, when we die, are we going with the Lord then, or are we waiting to go with him when he returns? You're going right then. I want you to make a note of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, and don't ever forget it. I'll say it again. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, and don't ever forget it. Rick from California, where in the Bible does it say we will recognize our loved ones in heaven? Ooh, we're getting a lot of those today. Ezekiel 44, chapter 25, okay? That's Ezekiel 24 is so-called heaven. That's where the Christ is returned and we're with him. Jolene from New York. Could you please tell me the name of the lady who had the dream that started the rapture theory? Also, where did you get the information about that? We carry a little work in our library called The Incredible Cover-Up. You'll find it on the book list. It was a work done by David McPherson. And we even have a more in-depth work than that by the same person who went there, checked this all out, and the little lady's name was Margaret MacDonald, and the year was 1830. And there happened to be two preachers of the Brethren there, and they said, whoopee, we got it made now, any moment doctrine, and they went with it, okay? William, from you can order the book from us, okay? Incredible Cover-Up. Give you all you wanted to know about it and how she was speaking in tongues, so to speak. William from Wisconsin. My question is, when they say Jesus is coming back, let's see. Dear Pastor Arnold, I'm a former atheist for 21 years. On June the 10th, 05 will be 3 years I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, praise God. It's good that you're with him. My question is, when they say Jesus Christ is coming back, will he come back in the flesh or spirit? No one seems to be able to give me a just answer. Perhaps you can. Sincerely, William. Well, William, it's real simple. This is why he went to the mount that we call the Mount of Transfiguration. His body had to be transfigured and could not be left in the flesh when he died, for the simple fact that people would doubt very seriously that he ever resurrected. So that is why that he, along with Elijah, and along with Moses, in my opinion, were transfigured. The last chapter in Deuteronomy will let you know about Moses. God would not let man bury him. And so he comes in his spiritual body when he returns. But Christ in the transfigured body is visible to us, and he will be with us in that body throughout the millennium. And the beauty of it is, William, we will all change at that seventh trump at his coming into our spiritual bodies. We've got two. That's part of believing. Charles from Colorado, you recently entered a question concerning Ezekiel 13:20, and I thought I heard you say that this scripture had nothing to do with the rapture, but was concerning the Tower of Babel, with man trying to create his own salvation. Did I hear you correctly? No, you did not. It is Genesis chapter 11 that has to do with the Tower of Babel, and not necessarily rapture. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 20, very definitely addresses the rapture, because God said, I am against those that teach my people to fly to save their souls. But in the person who asked the question, and I can't remember if it was a lady or a gentleman, asked if the Tower of Babel was also a part of that. And it was, you might say, the fledgling of it, in as much as man has always wanted to figure out a way to work out his own salvation other than just listening to Christ and letting him do the saving. All right? And they figured they could build that brick tower up high enough, they could make it to heaven, and then if the flood ever came again, they wouldn't drown. Man cannot figure his own salvation. Christ does. Deborah from Texas, my family thinks that you are a wonderful pastor. Well, I thank your family for that. You have lightened up our lives. I do have one question, though. When Christ comes back, are we going to be able to tell the difference if it is him or the devil? Of course we can, because we know the chronological order of events, meaning the false one will come, not maybe, not perhaps. God declares it through the Son in Mark 13, the Antichrist will come first. And if he had not shortened the days, no flesh would be saved. But he did shorten the days. So we know the fate comes first. And quite frankly, as long as we're in the flesh, it's the fate that's here. Because the minute Christ returns, we are in our spiritual bodies, just wham, just like that, okay? I thank you for the fact that you give me credit for enlightening your lives, but it's the Word of God that does it, okay? And I know what you're saying, but the Word just changes people. The Word itself changes our lives. It gives us hope. It tells us how to be prosperous and successful. Nikki from Kentucky, would you please give me the scripture that says Satan is bound behind the throne of God in heaven? Well, that's real simple. Where do you think Michael is at this time? He's in heaven, right? It stipulates that he is in Revelation chapter 12. Michael and his angels, just a short time before the very end, go to war in heaven with Satan, the old dragon, which is the serpent. All of his names are utilized in various verses in Revelation 12, so that you do not miss the point that we're talking about. The Antichrist, who is the devil, will be cast to this earth for just a very short period of time. And then that's no mystery, because Revelation chapter 9 lets us know that the short period is only 5 months. Many are going to tell you, well, he's here already. Not just his evil spirit. When he comes de facto, he will come able to perform miracles in the sight of men, such as snapping fingers and lightning, coming from heaven. Awesome. And there will be a lot of people deceived at that time. And some are going to be confused if they're not real careful that even know the truth. That's how effective he is. And so Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 will document it for you. Bart from Michigan. Again, I want to say his evil spirit is able to roam the earth just as the Holy Spirit is able to roam the earth now. But he will come de facto. Bart from Michigan, what is the course of Abiah? Is it in the Bible? Of course it is. It's one of the 24 courses pronounced in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 in Greek, which is Abaya, but Abaya is Hebrew, and you'll find it in 1 Chronicles 20, chapter 24, verse 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 10. It is the eighth course for the Levitical priesthood. Okay, a course is a tour of duty in the temple. Okay, Carl from Illinois. Where in the Bible can you find the fallen giants? I know it talks about it in Genesis, but where else can I find it? Well, you've got the fallen ones spoken of in the great book of Jude, just before the book of Revelation, in the first 6-7 verses. It speaks of them again. But have you never heard of little David and Goliath? Men, I mean, there's a place that talked about a giant that when he walked, the earth boomed. And little old David crossed that stream and picked up 5 smooth stones. It only took one, and he buried it right into his forehead and killed the giant. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all a lot because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. It makes His day. And when you make His day, He's going to make yours, all right? We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? But bless God. He will always bless you. But there's one thing that's most important in your life, and this gets right down where the rubber meets the road. That is that you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even when there's trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yahshua, He is our Savior and the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be